visions were born surrounding mysterious lights seen in the sky flashing.
Okay, we are back. Let's go to Sorrento, Florida. Carl is joining us on satellite.
Hi, Don. Are we having fun tonight?
Hey, we're having fun. You're not another Howard Stern supporter, are you?
No.
Okay, they said the P word on my show.
I was afraid when Video Dave got on there, I'd never get on the air because it used to take about an hour.
You know, and I was going to tell the guy how much I liked him, and good Lord, he hung up already. You know, I don't know what to say.
I didn't get his satellite thing, but I'm taping the thing, so I'll check it later and see what he's up to.
Okay. What's cooking, Carl?
Oh, man. Well, listen, I know what you look like now.
You do? How?
Yeah, and I'm selling a tape if you want to know what I look like. It's $49.95.
Wait a minute. Yours is more expensive than mine.
And to Mr. Estes, if he'd like to interview me, you know, I've been in this thing since 1947.
You have?
Yeah, probably longer than any of you.
Well, that was before I was born, Carl.
Well, I'm sure it was.
Well, it wasn't before I was born, sad to say.
If he wants to interview me, I do it stark naked, except I wear a Nazi helmet. But get this.
Hey, what happened to my radio show?
But Carl, I'm not into shock value.
But get this, it's painted blue.
I'll tell you, Carl, if you paint it gray and put two large eyes on it, I'll go for it.
Okay. Now, if you get time and run out of foolishness, tell us about those good pictures that they didn't show the other night.
Hey, I will. You're talking about the stuff that was on our
camera. I'm sure they showed us the garbled garbage.
No. That sequence,
it wasn't bad.
That sequence was actually quite amazing. But it was
very good.
There was one sequence, which I have on a videotape, where one of these objects, just like somebody dropped it from the ceiling, come tumbling out of a cloud, flopping end over end, suddenly stopping itself right side up and shooting off the screen and at a tremendous amount of speed. It was just literally amazing.
Their own clouds, you know, if they need them. Uh-huh.
On clouds? Well, I thought it was swamp gas.
Yeah, that
Okay. Carl?
Yeah.
Keep looking up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Roger.
All right, let's go to Harold, who's calling us from Lancaster on Jones.
Good evening, Don.
Good evening.
First of all, it's a pleasure to listen to your show.
Well, thank you.
I only had two questions. First one is, in listening to your show for past 2 years now, we've heard a lot about the secret documents, the eyes-only type of documents. My question is really of one of which is of skepticism. That is, who stamps them eyes-only? Who actually can go ahead...
Blind monkeys.
Well... it must be. It must be a Braille method, because if these documents are as top secret as I think they are...
Well, usually if something is stamped eyes only, there normally are only one copy of this, and it's for a certain individual. Like the MJ-12 documents were allegedly eyes only for incoming President Eisenhower. I think there are a lot of questions today that these documents are not real. But normally you will see documents that have been stamped secret or perhaps at one point top secret that have been declassified. You'll see a line running through the secret or top secret stamp. And many of these documents, in fact, have been gotten through Freedom of Information Act request.
But they don't say anything. They say the end. Maybe a period there. And
with a lot of black lines.
Right, absolutely.
That's because it's still secure information.
Yeah, well, I absolutely understand that. My question, like I said, was just really, who are the people that stamp it? The other question, really, Don, is you used to have a segment on that Vicki did about updating current UFO situations or phenomenal situations.
Yes, yes.
And I'd like to see something like that on a weekly basis. Just what is current? I mean,
Harold, you know, I have been after her for a year and a half to come back and do that, and I got tired of asking her.
Okay. She's sitting right
I'll
here. Why don't you stick a mic in her face?
I'll ask her. Where is she?
She's right over here.
She's sitting here.
Vicki, why don't you...
Hello, this is Vicki Cooper, the UFO news update for May 8th, 1994. You'll be seeing us soon. I just can't say when. Can I help you?
Hey, sounds good, Vicki. Really, try to get back to that. That'd be great, because the only current thing I hear is still many, many years old, and that's Roswell. And I mean, I'd like to see something come of that. I don't know if it will or not, just because of time.
Now, you won't realize how you just energized her, Harold. she's been coming home whining. Well, nobody wants to hear that. They never ask for that. And I said, well, you know, people get tired of asking, and you don't show.
See, I'm also booking for a raise.
Well, okay. Well, forget the money situation. You should do it out of the kindness of your heart.
Yeah.
But
the kindness of my heart doesn't put any food in my doggy's bowl.
I hear that too. Anyway,
I'll tell you what. It is coming back. In fact, I have somebody who's volunteered to assist me and to enlarge it and to make it even more of a snappy item. But to avoid taking up too much time here, let's just say you have renewed my faith, and I appreciate your feedback, and I hope that if there's anybody else that wants to give me some of that feedback as to UFOs tonight and what they'd like to see on it, to write me at UFO Magazine, Post Office Box 1053, Sunland, California, 91041. Good night. And
okay,
see you later. Everybody is back on the show.
Hello,
floor. This is Vicki Cooper with the UFO.
thank you very much, Vicki. Don, it's a pleasure. And keep us informed of some recent stuff, okay?
Okay, Harold. You take care, my friend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, my heaven. We have, I think, Video Dave back on.
Vidi.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
You Chris? Hung up before I could say how much we liked you, Dave.
Well, you always cut me short because you're such a big star now, and you treat me like a damn bird, and I don't like it.
Well, he's not as bad as KFI, is he?
Hey, listen, all kidding aside, I want the viewers to know that the three of us, the four of us, although Doctor, I haven't met you, but the rest of us, we all share information, and old Russ Essence is the only guy in the world with KFI ESP. He always knows when I'm on the radio.
It's because of my agency connections, Dave.
Oh, is that it?
Sure.
But I decide to call the station once every 6 months, and you happen to be driving down the road.
Hey, they send the info to me on the hotline, you know?
Listen, I want to get into something serious. Maybe, I know Don's awful young, but Rush, you may remember
that.
Oh,
thank you, Dave. I remember that.
Anyway, do you remember back in 1964, CBS did a show with Walter Cronkite called Friend, Foe, or Fantasy?
I would hate to admit that I remember the early golden age of television, but yes, I do.
Well, Dave, I remember it.
Well, yeah, we have that. Of course, that was the days before videotape, but we do have that show on audio tape. And to the people out there that run CBS that may be listening to UFOs tonight, I think it was a travesty. I thought it was a piece of bird poop. Why couldn't CBS have the cojones to say yes? And in 1964, we told the world they were stupid. Old Uncle Walter Cronkite got on the phone and got on the air and says, yes, they're all birds, meteors, or natural gas.
Dave?
Yes.
What wound you up tonight?
Well, I'm so excited I finally got to call in. Your lines are so busy I couldn't get through for 7 weeks. We kept trying and trying, and I finally got through.
So tell me, what is it that you're smoking out there in your Kappa?
Ultralight. Best value Ultralight. $1.29 a pack. But anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is CBS showed this great, wonderful 1994 version of UFOlogy, and if we go back to this 1964 show that they did, I would think that CBS could have had the ability to say, back in 1964 we showed this, you know, that everything was swamp gas, meteors, or balloons.
Well, that was not, even though they didn't use the term, Dave, it was not politically correct in 1964.
Yeah, but when you make a mistake, Don, you admit it. When Russ makes a mistake, he admits it.
He never admits it.
Russ?
He never admits
yes,
it. What
Russ
are you talking about?
Wait, stop. Stop. Hold the radio waves. Hold the radio waves. Russ admitted that I was an amateur, and he apologized.
Huh?
Isn't that right, Russ?
Absolutely.
Hey,
anything you say, Dave.
Hang on a minute. I wanna have Renee give out the phone numbers. And we've got four open lines right now. So
and the toll-free number, ladies and gentlemen, for living in Yucaipa and out of the area is 1-800-336.
Try to take my job. If you're within the 818, 213, or 310 area codes, please 25.
And those lines are open. I want to see them light up. Hit it.
And those were the dulcet tones of lovely Renee.
Well, Dave, what else is cooking, my friend?
Well,
Renee is waving at me. She says we've got to take a commercial break.
No problem.
I'm going to put you on hold.
Okay.
Stand by. And we're going to take a break, and when we come back, more with my guest, Dr. William Cohn and Mr. Russ Estes, myself, Don Ecker. You're listening to UFOs Tonight, and this is the Cable Radio Network. And we are back. We're going to go back to Dave. Dave, that little appeal I put out there lit up all my lines, so we're going to have to make this one quick. Are you there?
Yes, I am, sir.
Okay.
Anyway, we just want to, you were talking briefly earlier about videotapes and the CARP case and other videotapes.
Right.
And we have a show starting on satellite on ASC-1. That's 128 degrees west on Transponder 11. That's between Galaxy 5 and SATCOM C3.
What are you calling it?
It's called UFO Video Clearinghouse World.
Oh.
And that's what we're going to do. We're going to show videotapes that were sent in from all over the world to the UFO Clearinghouse, give away some prizes, and also allow people to send in a videotape of what their UFO experience was. And we're on every Thursday night, 6 o'clock Los Angeles time. Then if you miss the show, it's also repeated every Saturday at 10 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay,
and
Dave,
the first thing I want to give you and Russ an open invitation, anytime you want to come down and be on the show, just let me know.
Thank you. And on Monday morning, I'll be invoicing you for that commercial.
Okay, and I'll be sending you an invoice for all the free videotapes I sent you.
Hey, good hearing your voice, Dave.
Keep them eyes to the skies, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Let's go to Brenda, who's in Northridge on CVI. Good evening, Brenda.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, actually, just a comment, and I just wanted your opinion on Leah Haley's story, her incredible story. And for people that don't know about it, maybe you could brief them on it. And I just wanted your opinion on how, did anybody ever check her story out? Or?
Well, she has been alleging alien abduction with overtones of U.S. military involvement. That's what you're talking. It was name of that is what? Behold the Key, I
Lost
believe.
Was
or,
the key.
Lost, was yeah, the key. Lost was the Key. Right. Lost was the Key. You know, I have not jumped into that story. I know that she has been talking about this in lectures, and of course her book has been out for some time now. But she, of course, is not the only person that has alleged human interaction with the alleged aliens. The whole abduction thing is so bizarre anyway, Brenda. As a matter of fact, that's why we're so blessed tonight having Dr. Cohn in here, because Bill has been studying this and has been working with people within the field for a long time. Bill, what is your take on these stories, number one, of the alien abduction, number two, the people that have alleged that there were human beings involved with this? And I know that you've run across these
folks.
Yeah,
I've had four people in my practice come in with stories very similar to Leah's story about alien abduction, government involvement, being abducted in many different places. And I don't know Leah. I've met her once. I don't know anything about her background or what her story is about. I do know there's a remarkable correlation, similarity between her story and other people that have told me this story that apparently do not know one another. Beyond that, I can't tell you anything about the validity of those stories, but they're remarkably similar.
I'll throw my two cents in. I spent a very interesting afternoon with Leah Haley. She is a fine, articulate, friendly human being, and I have no reason to doubt that she experienced something out of the ordinary. The abduction phenomena itself is just so compelling. And I tend to judge a lot of the abductees that I have met, or the experiencers, or anything you choose to care to call them. I tend to judge them by the amount of pain they portray, and I do believe that Leah has had some type of experience that's outside the norm. That's about all I can say about it.
Brenda, does that answer your question?
Yes, that was very good. Very interesting.
Okay, well, I want to thank you for your call, and please keep listening.
Thanks a lot.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Greg, who's calling us from Van Nuys on United Artists. Good evening, Greg.
Hi, Don. It sounds like you're having some kind of party there.
Yeah, we've had a few laughs this evening.
Okay, my question is for Dr. Cohn. What do you make of John Mack?
That's a great question. Well, I think John Mack is a very brilliant man. I think he's got impeccable credentials. I think he is very mistaken about some of the things that he's doing. I really take a position against the way he forms his criteria from who he's willing to work with and who he's not willing to work with. He has a very strict set of criteria of who he thinks is going to be a valid research subject.
Which guarantees his results.
Absolutely. He throws out anybody that doesn't fit his paradigm. I also have a real problem with his method of data gathering. I mean, in scientific research, and this is something I think John should know, when you do scientific research, you want to look at two things. One is the source of your data, and the other is your measuring instrument. And if you throw out all the sources that don't fit your hypothesis, you have skewed your data. And if you use a measuring instrument that hasn't proved to be valid, then you have an invalid study. And I think hypnosis has been shown to be a very poor tool to get quality information from.
Do you believe in not utilizing that technique at all, Bill?
No, I don't believe in not using it at all, but I think you have to take a lot of caution about what you hear from somebody under hypnosis. First of all, you know, there is no way to verify if somebody's under hypnosis. There is no way to tell if somebody is in there just to lie to you. There is no way to tell if somebody under hypnosis is confabulating, making things up, or actually is recounting an experience. And through all the years and thousands of research studies we've done, we've never been able to verify what comes out under hypnosis. It's a poor tool.
On the other side of the coin, what do you make of Phil Klass?
I think Phil Klass is a very funny man.
Great sense of humor.
Yes. I get a real kick out of some of the things he says. I think he sort of vehement when he goes after some of the people in this field, but I personally get a good laugh out of him.
You know, he's stopped basically taking my calls. I've been trying to get Klass back on this show. I had him on a little over a year ago, and I've wanted to get him on here and go at it about the Roswell case, which he is so adamantly against right now. And Phil had nothing but excuses for like the next 6 months.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
See, the problem with I feel badly that Phil has been ostracized from a lot of the things that go on in this field.
Because well, that's because he's done it to himself.
He really has gone after some people too much.
Well, I think that if you're not a skeptic, you're a fool.
You have to be a skeptic, but there is a line.
But, let me finish what I was saying, Don. But if you're a debunker, you're a comedian. That's what I was saying.
Different to
being a skeptic. Go ahead and say what you really think.
Well, hey, seriously, I think that Phil has a spectacular sense of humor. I think that 99% of the stuff that he does is tongue-in-cheek. And I think he is the kind of guy that really enjoys stirring up the muck. I think the term was muckraker.
What have both of your guests, do you have any opinion on Travis Walton and the whole fire in the sky thing?
Oh, boy, do I. See, you've got me on my opinion night. Whoa. Gosh, isn't it interesting how a story can mutate over the course of 15 years? Isn't it interesting how a story can change? Isn't it interesting how the original writings and the writings that the revision after the movie changes to match the movie?
You mean the historical revisionist or work again?
That's my opinion on the Travis Walton case. I've never seen something that grows after it's, you know, after it happens that way. It has grown a thousandfold, and ever since the gentleman's gotten his promo fund, he sure does believe in that movie.
Well, I thank you for answering all my questions. Great program, Don.
Well, Greg, we aim to please, my friend.
All right, thanks for that.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Wanda, who's calling us from Fullerton on Comcast. Good evening, Wanda.
Hi, nice to talk to you again.
Well, it's nice to talk to you.
I have a couple questions for you. I understand that sometime in the future, our government is going to send up a satellite or whatever you want to call it up to Mars, probably in with the help of Russia. But the last I heard that they were not going to go over the site where they see the face.
You're talking about Cydonia.
Yes, Cydonia. Now, I find that very interesting. You know, if you really want to get to an answer, why wouldn't they do that? First thing.
Well, perhaps now this is speculation, Wanda.
Uh-huh.
Perhaps they already know what it is that we think they're looking for.
I see.
And they don't have to bother. Or perhaps they do want to go back and photograph that area, but they don't want it to be public knowledge in case there's information there they would not want to become public.
I see. Well, that sounds good.
You know, it's hard to say, and we can only speculate, not knowing what their true motives are.
Mm-hmm.
But this is certainly one way to look at it. What do you gentlemen think?
I think that there's something very interesting up there, and I think that if anybody's going to find out what it is, they're not going to let us know till long after they find out.
Huh.
This makes sense to me. I mean, let's face it. We sit around and we babble about government conspiracies. The government knows this. The government knows that. Of course, they want to know it before we do. So they're not going to tell us a blow-by-blow on what's going on. And I honestly think that they're looking.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. And let's see, something else.
Now, for what it's worth, Wanda, let me say this. I had a. Have you been listening to this show very long?
No, just for about the last 3 weeks. I wouldn't miss it now.
Oh, great. Well, you know, a number of months ago, I had on several times as a guest a gentleman by the name of Professor Stan McDaniel, who has been working along with folks like Richard Hoagland with trying to get to the bottom of why NASA has been so reticent about going back to Mars, what actually happened to the Mars Observer mission last year, and so forth. Well, I had a call from McDaniel this past week, and he told me, and this is something that I would like all you folks out there listening, if you have any information about this, please contact me, that on the Brokaw, I believe it was NBC or perhaps it was ABC News this past week, there was a brief mention of the Clementine mission that's already was in lunar orbit photographing the moon, that it had been instead sent for a flyby of Mars. This allegedly was on the news, that it would, and Cydonia, the site of Cydonia was mentioned. Now, when Stan McDaniel called me, he asked me to mention this on tonight's show. If anybody out there may have seen this on the news this past week, or maybe even videotaped it, please get in touch.
Boy, that sounds interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Listen, also, I wanted to know, you know, we're seeing so much on television in the way of movies, news, TV programs, radio programs, things in magazines. I almost have a feeling that we're sort of in a rush. I don't know if it's because something where people are interested in the subject and there's money to be made by radio and TV on the subject, or do you think that maybe we're going to be getting some information, some real information soon, and we're sort of getting broken in?
We live in hope.
Yeah, we hope, Wanda, and that's about all we can say. You know, this kind of rumor has been going on a long time. A lot of people for actually the last 5 or 6 years have been suggesting, well, they're getting ready to make the big announcement.
Actually, that's been going on for about 30 years.
30 years?
Yes.
I was talking to Gabriel Green, who's been around this phenomena since the beginning of this phenomena.
Who ran for president.
Ran for president.
1960.
On the UFO ticket, and this guy has been around since the beginning of time. And I'll tell you something. He made a comment to me that really stuck. He said, you know, Russ, we all thought, and this is like 1947, 48, we all thought we'd be hearing all about this any day. If I ever thought it was going to take 40 years, I wouldn't have been involved in it.
Okay, Wanda, thank you, dear, for your call. We've got
thank
to move
you.
Along.
Okay, bye.
Okay, let's go to Michael, who's calling us from North Hollywood on United Artists. And incidentally, we've got some open lines now. If you've been trying to get through and you couldn't, now's the time to call. Michael, what's on your mind?
Hi, Don. Good to hear from you again. I love your show, and hello to your guest.
Well, thank you.
Yes, sir. Two things, and then I'm going to hang up for your reply, okay?
Okay.
First thing, when was it that Bob Lazar has been discredited? And again, I'm an amateur enthusiast in the field, and the things that I was hearing from him, even though unsubstantiated, seemed to make a lot of sense, number one. And number two, for us computer users out of the house, what is the billboard that I could access to with respect to being in touch on the UFO phenomenon? And I'm going to hang up and listen for your reply, Don. And again, thanks for the good job.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Okay, to answer your second question first, I have a bulletin board service called the UFO Informational Database, which is a part of the ParaNet system. I don't know if I've mentioned it in the last few weeks, but for all you people out there with a computer and a modem of at least 1200 baud or faster, all the way up to 14.4, you can call the bulletin board 24 hours a day. The system will accept any type of computer as long as you have a telecommunications program and a modem. The number is area code 818-353-2524. Usually takes me a day to validate you after you call up, sign on, and answer the questionnaire. The information literally spans the globe that comes through that computer system. It's a part of Paranet. To answer your first question about Robert Lazar, I cannot say that he has, in fact, been discredited. After he went public, he was charged with aiding and abetting prostitution in Clark County, Nevada, which is illegal in Las Vegas. He was convicted of this charge of pandering. Many people felt that in fact discredited his story. As far as whether he was legitimately real or not and having worked at Area 51, George Knapp, who's probably done more investigation than anybody else, still maintains that he believes at least parts of Lazar's story. Lazar has never changed his basic story, and there are still, in my opinion, a lot of unanswered questions. We are right now at the half hour. There's about 30 minutes left of the show. If you've been trying to call, you haven't been able to get through, now is the time. If you've been trying to get in on the 800 numbers and they're busy, you can still call us on our 818 number. Let me give you those numbers real quickly. 818-352. My name is Don Ecker. My in-studio guest tonight, Dr. William Cohn and Mr. Russ Estes. This is your last chance for the next 30 minutes to get in touch. If you have something you want to talk to us about, give me a call. That's it. We'll be back after these words. And, hey, keep looking up.
CRN, the cable radio network, presents this program for its entertainment value only as a service to our listeners. CRN does not endorse or object to any topics or views discussed in the program.
Legends were born surrounding mysterious lights seen in the sky flashing.
And we are back, America. We're going to go to Milwaukee, where Jim is calling us on satellite. Good evening, Jim.
Hi, Don.
Is this your first call?
Yes, it is.
Great. Where did you hear about us?
For the magazine. I pick up a UFO, and I've been trying to pick up on satellite for a long time, but I finally got you.
Hot dog. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to let you know that Milwaukee has finally got
beer?
Well, yeah, a little of that, too. They have a abductee support group.
All right.
It's called the Milwaukee Abductee Support and Enlightenment Group, the first one in this area.
Well, fantastic.
And it's run by Dr. Caroline Luth. She's a PhD in psychotherapist. And if anyone's interested, her number is area code 414.
The Milwaukee area, right?
Yeah. And the 3rd of June... a Friday will be their next meeting.
Okay, Jim.
Now,
are you going to be there?
Unfortunately, no. I won't be able to make it.
Oh, okay.
Being abducted that night, Jim?
Pardon me?
Being abducted that night?
Yeah.
joke, Jim.
Yeah,
joke.
My job abducted me for the night. I won't be able to make it for that reason. But I have a couple questions for you, too.
Okay.
About Isaac Newton. Now, Bill Cohn should have some fun with that one. I read in Frank Scully's Behind the Flying Saucer that one of the crashed saucers, either in Farmington or in Aztec, I'm not sure which one they aren't either, had 16 aliens on board. And there were only 4 chairs. That meant that there was standing room only. Now, where would so many aliens be going with standing room only?
You ever been on a New York subway?
No. But it sounds like a shuttle.
Oh, God, unless they were all sitting in each other's lap.
There's little straps hanging up off the top.
Yeah, about the same situation.
No, seriously, though. I have not heard. I went to Aztec. This is Russ talking, brother.
Uh-huh.
I went to Aztec myself and talked to a lot of the locals. I think we just lost something.
Did we just lose something here? I think we did.
Ah, well, everything sounds... Hopefully we're on the air, but I've never heard of 16 aliens.
There we go.
We're back. The most I've heard of was 4. Oh, we have to whip Vicky. She pulled a plug out.
Oh. Vicky, keep your hands on each other's lap.
There's little straps hanging up off the top.
Yeah, about the same situation.
No, seriously, though. I have not heard... I went to Aztec. This is Russ talking, brother.
Uh-huh.
I went to Aztec myself and talked to a lot of the locals. I think we just lost something.
Did we just lose something here? I think we did.
Ah, well, everything sounds... Hopefully we're on the air, but I've never heard of 16 aliens.
There we go.
We're back. The most I've heard of was 4. Oh, we have to whip Vicky. She pulled a plug out.
Oh. Vicky, keep your hands off those buttons, please.
Ooh, promises.
We're having a party.
Okay, I've heard 16 and a total of 34 aliens out of 3 or 4 ships.
That's more than I've ever run across.
Yeah, yeah.
There are plenty of stories.
Yeah. Another thing, too, now, in regards...
We'll make this one quick because we've got a lot of calls here.
Okay, in regards to the Silas Newton lecture that he gave at the university, has anyone ever come up with any of the students who were present at that lecture, or did they all go mum? I heard the classrooms were supposed to be full.
I am not aware of who Silas Newton is.
Well, you're not?
No, I've never heard the man.
You haven't heard of Silas Newton?
No.
Have you read Behind the Flying Saucers by Frank Scully?
Years and years and years ago.
Okay, he talks about Silas Newton. He was labeled as a con man.
Right, he was.
And he has an interesting story to tell, though.
As a matter of fact,
most con men do have interesting stories. That is one of the hallmarks.
That was one of the points of tonight's show.
Yes.
All right,
Harley Bird had a very interesting story.
And he's getting more publicity than that man's ever gotten in his life.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's
why we call this bird soup.
Yeah, well, that's why I brought it up. Because
okay, so you're saying that this man gave a lecture and nobody came.
No, he gave a lecture and everybody came, but nobody's talking.
They can't find anybody that came.
Right. They
which
can't
probably
find...
means that it didn't happen.
Well, if nobody's talking, perhaps the forces of the secret government got to them first.
Yeah, let me tell you something about sociopathy, and this is something that people don't look at, and it's rampant in this field.
Can you spell that, Bill?
No, I cannot. It's much too big of a word, but I can say it very well. Hallmark of sociopathy is a man whose past is shrouded in mystery. Whenever you have a person who comes up to you with a bunch of information and says they can't tell you their source, or they can't tell you where they've been, or they can't account for their background, you can almost immediately conclude sociopathy. A person who wants to be valid in this field has plenty of information about their credentials, their background, the source of their information, the validity of their information. They're going to give you every bit of information they possibly can to validate what they're saying. When they start talking mystery, you know that there's a con.
Now, sociopathy is somewhat different than cinematography, right?
Spell that for me.
Okay. Hey, Jim, we've got to run. But
okay.
Keep listening, and thanks for tuning in.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, let's go to Ralph, who's calling us from Escondido on Dimension. Ralph.
Hi, how you doing?
All right, what's on your mind?
Regular caller, but skeptical.
Okay.
I saw the trailer for that a report on Clementine, and it simply showed one of the mission elements, which was an image of the moon. Now, I did not see the actual report, but what they might have reported was that it was headed off toward the asteroid Geographos, which is its next task.
Yeah, that's what it was supposed to do, Ralph, but it was my understanding, according to Professor McDaniel, that the individual that had contacted him, who in fact works within NASA, was that the Clementine craft allegedly, and let me stress the allegedly, was diverted to Mars. And they mentioned photographing the Cydonia area. Now, that's all I know because I did not see the broadcast.
That would probably be virtually impossible since it would not have enough fuel.
No, it wouldn't, but they were going to utilize the moon's gravitational effect to slingshot it that way.
Well, I don't think that was on, but I can't prove it because I did not see it. Now, of course, they do have some additional, I think, elements in that cislunar space that are classified, but any of those could have been confused. But the Mars story sounds a little bit far-fetched.
Well, it caught me by surprise also,
yeah.
And that's why I wanted to find out. All right, Ralph. Well, hey, we're going to have to get into a very skeptical discussion some evening.
Yes, I think that it would be good to have Phil Klass if you can ever get him on, and let the skeptics explain their point of view on these various reports.
Phil Klass is not a skeptic. Phil Klass is a debunker. There's a big difference between a debunker and a skeptic.
Uh-huh.
Phil Klass and his ilk, as funny as I find them, do not speak logically. They are nuts and bolts, and they are just as... Dr. Cohn, please address this. They are just as narrow-minded
Absolutely.
As some of the radicals on the other side. So you're not going to get a skeptical point of view listening to Phil Klass.
Well, I've read Phil's articles for years on avionics and Aviation Week in Space Technology, and he... to me, he has a high degree of credibility and experience.
He's a very smart man.
I didn't say he wasn't smart. I didn't say he wasn't rational on other topics. But when you're talking about the UFO phenomena, he does not have what one would call an open mind.
Uh-huh.
You are familiar, of course, Ralph, with the fate of Galileo and basically what happened to him and why it happened, aren't you?
Well, I know that NASA said that there was a...
No. I'm talking about the astronomer, Galileo.
Oh, yes, I know.
He was placed
under house arrest for espousing the solar-centered...
Exactly.
The
and he basically was crossing swords, figuratively speaking, with, at that time, the priestly hierarchy, which was represented by the Catholic Church.
Yes.
Okay? Today, our priestly hierarchy... The same type of people that a number of hundreds of years ago put Galileo under arrest are the same people that are crucifying people today that are daring to look into these quote-unquote verboten areas. And Phil, unfortunately, as much as I do know Phil, and I do enjoy him on a personal level, Phil is one of these persecutors, in my opinion.
Well, I personally find Phil to be a pleasant, enjoyable man, full of humor. But he is a radical. He's on a radical side of the post. He doesn't have an open mind. He will not talk rationally because he will not listen to the other side's stories.
Well, require a scientific, hard scientific engineering view?
Oh, let's get off of the old lines of give me a prosaic answer. I love that. Prosaic answer. Let's have open minds, folks. There are things happening out there, even outside the UFO field, that we have no answer to. Rather than turning around and saying it's nuts and bolts,
uh-huh.
Get real. I mean, look at things in the realm of the paranormal. Look at paranormal anomalies. There are so many things happening out there that we have no answers to, and you're not going to get the quote-unquote prosaic answers.
Not especially if they're not willing to look. Ralph, we have got to run, but I want to thank you for your
call.
Okay. Bye-bye. We're going to go to Tony in Whittier, who's joining us on Salmons. Good evening, Tony.
How you doing, Don?
Fine. What's on your mind?
Oh, nothing. I've been listening for about 3 or 4 weeks and real quietly sitting here waiting for my chance to call. But, Phil Klass is definitely one of your conventional type of persons that's not going to find out anything using his conventional methods. So,
well, the question has always been raised, does he truly want to?
I've seen that debate on TV, and, you know, he's just like a closed drain barrel. He's never going to get a drop of water in his barrel, and that's it. But did you guys catch that Secrets of the Pyramids?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
it was pretty good. They had Hoagland on and, you know, some of his Mars 3D stuff. The other stuff went off the deep end a little bit, but it was still pretty good. They ran something up here on Encounters Friday night, a little bit on that Long Island crash, and our old buddy, I couldn't believe it, Mario Rivera, on there, talking about Puerto Rico and an underground base in a lagoon.
Yes.
And I mean, haven't they concluded that his pictures were fake?
Yes.
What's going on? Why did they run that?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. Oftentimes, many of these television programs are more concerned with ratings numbers than with actually being absolutely on target with the information. And it's very easy in many cases for people to try to pull the wool over eyes of people that are not experts in that field, but in fact they are, you know, doing...
And it's the same thing we're talking about
right
tonight. I, as a producer, got sucked in. They get sucked in. The people that are out there, the people that are the most sensationalistic, are not necessarily the most honest or the most reliable.
Right.
Right. That woman that was saying that she was a victim of some type of radiation or something, did you catch that on Encounters at all?
Are you talking about... Well, I didn't see it last night, but I believe this was the same program that aired
right
in February.
Yeah, it was. It had some new twists and stuff to it, but her and her daughter were driving along a road, and I can't remember exactly where it was.
Well, are you talking about the Cash Landrum case?
I think that's the one where they were exposed to some high levels of radiation.
Yes.
And
yes,
then they she supposedly got cancer and now is in remission, and she came out and said, hey, look, you know, I'm coming out, I'm coming public, and, you know, they've taken my health, what's left?
Exactly.
So, you know, it's like, hey, if people out there, you know, it's wake up, you know, that this stuff is going on around us, whether they're flying saucers or whether they're high-tech or whatever, there's something strange going on, you know, and it's, like you said, it's not only who screams the loudest that's got the truth.
Well, you know, Tony, it's funny, and we're going to have to move along here, but let me say this, it's very funny that there are many people today, skeptics and debunkers, that state that it would be absolutely impossible for the federal government to hide something as momentous as unidentified flying objects. But yet, they can keep a secret when they so choose. It was just a couple of months ago that we found out that over 40-plus years ago, the government illegally, unethically, and just absolutely utilizing the most unbelievable tactics, irradiated innocent civilians here in the United States in these plutonium tests and atomic radiation tests that you know, we didn't know about for almost a half century. So they, in fact, can keep a secret when it's in their interest.
No doubt about it. You know, they can keep a secret. And something like this that has such a tremendous value and intellect, you know, if there is a higher technology, you know, they're just going to want to keep it to themselves. And, you know, like I said, I'm keeping my eyes to the skies over here in Whittier. It's been a little cloudy, but... I'm going to be looking, and I hope I see one.
Outstanding, and don't trip over anything when you're looking up.
Yeah, keep up the good work, and I can't wait till you guys get a TV show. I want you guys on TV, not these kind of lackadaisical reporters. You know, I mean, I give them credit. You know, they're bringing it to the front, and I do give them credit for that. But, you know, this guy, Amaro Rivera, I mean, how big does he think the world is that we're not looking at him again? You know, we're all watching him, Mario. Come on, you know. You can't get it past some of us.
Hey,
know?
Tony, don't hold back, buddy. Tell him what you really
tell him
think.
What you really feel. Mario, come on, you know. Well, that's basically what I wanted to say, you know, because the rest of it was pretty good. And, you know, I was really into that Secrets of the Pyramids because, you know, there's just no logical explanation for where they come from. And
well, maybe someday, Tony, we'll know. We gotta roll along, my friend. Take care.
Good work.
Bye-bye. We're going to go to Mike in Redondo Beach, who's joining us on Sentry. Hello, Mike. Are you there? Yep, I guess we lost him. Let me go to Dale, who's calling us from Colorado on satellite.
Yeah, hi, Don.
Hi, Dale.
We're just a little bit east. We're a suburb of Denver. And my wife was watching that broadcast. I think you were referring to an NBC. It was a national feed. And she mentioned, I guess what kind of got her interest was they were mentioning Buckley, which is just east of Aurora.
Yes, uh-huh.
And they have the NORAD dish, as you know, for Colorado Springs and all of that.
Right.
And they mentioned that the satellite which was launched should have been launched 4 years ago as a spy satellite. And
no, wait a minute. What exactly are we referring to?
This is that the television program that you were talking about.
Encounters?
No, this is NBC.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the
Clementine?
Brokaw? Yes, yes,
probably.
Yes.
Yeah. See, I didn't see it. I got it from my wife. But she said that Buckley has an underground antenna which is as large as a football field.
Well, that's a very big NSA listening post at Buckley.
Correct. And, well, you know, military also, of course.
Yes,
and I think this coincides with Clementine. I think it's Clementine. And if so, then, of course, it was supposed to go to map the backside of the moon, right?
Right,
and
right.
It's supposed to also record the collision of the meteor with Jupiter.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that will be happening in July.
Right. And that's basically all new. I wondered, too, what your gentlemen think of, is it Alexander Sitchin? Is that his name?
Zachariah.
Zachariah. I'm sorry. That's correct. Yeah, and I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
Okay,
Bill. Sure do enjoy the show.
Hey, how long have you been tuning in?
Well, I talked to you once before, Don. I don't know. Almost since inception, I imagine.
Oh, is that right? You've been on satellite all the time?
Correct.
And you never called before?
Yes, I've called before.
Oh, you have? How long ago?
Oh, I don't know. What, 6 months?
Well, call more often, Dale.
I appreciate it, Don. You guys have fun.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay,
bye.
You know, the one thing that I found interesting is we have not had one call from a supporter of Harley Bird or any of the other individuals that we've been talking about. How come they fill their conference rooms, but yet no one's calling in, Don? I guess only the brilliant people listen to this show.
Well, I knew that. I knew that for a long time.
I had that feeling. I did.
Except for the Howard Stern callers that say the P word.
Well, that's one. That's 99%
of my audience are absolutely brilliant.
But he would fit in with the rest of the sociopaths.
Bill, do you have any psychological insight? What about Sitchin? The Dale asked about Sitchin, about Zachariah.
You know, I was talking
and
to...
And you wanted to mention Lazar, too.
Yeah. Well, just about his background and how it didn't exist. And I was saying earlier that a sociopath is a person that has no background. I don't know Bob Lazar. I don't know anything about him as a person, but I know he fits that profile of somebody who has no background.
But of course he does have a background.
Well, and Russ and I were talking about this a couple of weeks ago. If you want to find out where you went to school and where your diploma is, ask your mom.
Yeah.
Your mom has your report card. She's got your school pictures. She's got all kinds of stuff that she can drag up and show to everybody. And it isn't
hard
to do.
I'm over 50, and my mother has all of mine.
Yeah. So that's what I was saying earlier. If you want to let somebody know where you're coming from and what your background is, you can find it. It's there. About Sitchin, I was in Chicago talking to Zachariah Sitchin about his book, and I was asking him about the planet. I said, you know, the planet orbits every so many thousands of years, and
3,700, according to
him. How do these people live on this planet? Because it couldn't have an atmosphere, it couldn't have a climate. And his answer to me was, I don't interpret it, I just write what I see. I read the tablets, I wrote the story, you figure it out. So that's Zachariah's depth of research there. I don't know anybody else that agrees with what he said. I personally find his books fascinating, but I don't know anything about the validity of that.
Well, you know, Sitchin has been a guest on this program on, I believe, three occasions. And his linguistic background and ability is amazing.
He's a very brilliant man.
Yes, he was born in the Ukraine. He grew up in Israel. He now resides here in the United States. He's written 6 books. And he has taken these ancient tales and given new life, if for no other reason, and I've been a history buff my whole life, his work has fascinated me from the aspect of ancient cultures, which I've always been intrigued with. Let's see, do we have to take a commercial break? When we come back, I've got a couple of more phone calls to take. This is your last chance to get through tonight. I've got a couple of open lines, so go ahead and call. My name is Don Ecker. My guests tonight, Russ Estes, Dr. William Cohn. This is UFOs Tonight, and we'll be back after these messages. Hi. And we are back. Let's see. I have Dana calling from Palmdale on Jones Cable. Good evening, Dana.
Yeah, hi, Don. Hi, gentlemen. I live out in Palmdale, California, near Edwards Air Force Base.
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, and there's been, I've heard something, whether I read about it or I don't remember a rumor of it, that back in the 1950s, I think it was from a book called Aliens Among Us or something like that, I called you to ask, there was supposedly some kind of meeting out here with President Eisenhower.
Oh, you're talking about the alleged meeting at the old Muroc Air Force Base in 1954.
Yeah, do you know, have any knowledge of that?
Just a couple of references that I've read. There's nothing that would verify that. This has been a very interesting rumor that's been going around for quite a while. Do you guys know anything about it?
Nothing.
No, they're shaking their heads.
Okay.
Okay?
Alrighty.
All right, bye. Dana. I want to thank you for calling. Okay, well, guys, we're down to roughly 4 minutes. What is your take on all this, Bill? What are you hoping to achieve in this? I mean, getting involved with your profession, with the UFO field, cannot be considered a plus, can it?
Actually, it hasn't. I haven't gotten any negative feedback from people in my field about this. You know, we're as a field very interested in right now, especially interested in memory recovery and the veracity of memory recovery, and with all the trouble we're having with false memory syndrome and satanic ritual abuse memories. A lot of people are getting interested in looking at the UFO people because it's the same type of personality, it's the same type of memory retrieval, it's the same methodology used in this field as it is for satanic ritual abuse and multiple personality, things like that. So nobody's given me any flack about it at all. As a matter of fact, most people are very interested. As to what I hope to accomplish and what tack I take is to help bring some validity to the field, to help people understand a mental illness when they see one, to help people understand a sociopath when they see one, to help people understand a paranoid person when they see one, so that people don't get sucked in so easily, because that's why this field is so muddy right now.
And it, in fact, is very muddy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very apt description. Russ?
Well, I certainly came into this with my eyes wide open, and hopefully my mind wide open also. And the frustrations that I've experienced along the way is the fact that I really honestly feel that the people out there that are defrauding the general public, the people out there that are passing themselves off as something they are not, are doing no favor to the valid researchers in this field. They are doing no favor to this field.
As few as those valid researchers are.
As few as they are. But as long as this field promotes some of the lunatics out there, it is self-destructive. And that's very sad, because there's a lot of the unknown that we'd love to get answers to.
Well, you know, taking a look at, for example, that footage that was aired last night on NBC's Hard Copy, ladies and gentlemen, do not for 1 second doubt that something very strange is going on in the phenomenon we call UFO. But do not misconstrue what I'm saying. When I say UFO or unidentified flying object, I am not saying alien spaceship. And that is something that many, many, many times I have had to actually argue and fight with skeptics and debunkers that already assume that when I say UFO, I'm saying spaceship. And you know what happens when we assume, A-S-S-U-M-E. We make an ass out of you and me when we assume. Well, you know, that is it for another week. I think if we are looking over here, somebody's waving at me from the control booth. It looks like Larry, what's his name? Larry?
We're out of time. Thanks very much. Hope you enjoyed this edition of Don Echo Live.
Oh, that was Larry King. All right. Well, that's it, guys, for another week. My name is Don Ecker. The show is UFOs Tonight. You have been listening to the Cable Radio Network. I want to thank my guests and friends, Mr. Russ Estes, television producer, Dr. William Cohn, clinical psychologist, mental health professional, for joining us here at the studios of UFOs Tonight. We will be back again in a week with another edition of UFOs Tonight. Until then, keep your eyes to the skies, and hey, here's the music. Baby, take my hand.